This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Lori Vallow Daybell just gave her first ever on-camera interview. And it's pretty much what you'd expect. It's exactly as bizarre as you would think it would be. She's still completely detached from reality, claiming that she'll be exonerated because Jesus showed her a vision from the future. This is a woman who believed her own children were zombies. And now, despite a guilty verdict and life sentence, she still seems convinced that she did nothing wrong. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining us, specializing in this type of behavior. What are we actually looking at here in the upcoming Dateline interview with Keith Morrison? Are these delusions of a true believer, or is Lori just really that good at being a master manipulator who just does not break character?
No, Lori is a case of a very severe classic delusional disorder, and it's a rare mental health condition, but we do see it, and it usually develops, unlike other mental health problems, it develops after age 40 and centers on specific, very fixed delusions, which are bizarre beliefs that can't in any way possibly be true, but they're unshakable. You cannot talk a person out of it. You cannot show them evidence, you know, to dispute it, that they will believe. And she is just a classic case of this. And it really is caused by a brain problem. It's a malfunctioning brain. And I think with her, it started developing around 2017 when relatives have said she was getting really weird with her religious beliefs. And when she met Chad, it was accelerated because he fed into it.
So is she, when she's telling Keith, and we're going to watch a clip here in just a second. Maybe we should watch the clip first, because I got a question specifically about her mindset in this. This is a preview of Dateline. If you're watching this after it airs, you can go probably check it out on demand on Peacock. It airs Friday the 7th on NBC. Here is that clip of Lori. Let's take a look.
Chad was convicted and he's on death row now.
I understand that, yeah.
But
they have some fascinating
stories.
How could
you possibly think that Chad would be exonerated after what happened?
The same way I will be exonerated. We will both be exonerated in the future.
Because?
I have seen things in the future that Jesus showed me when I was in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And we were not in jail. And we were not in prison. And they were still in the future from now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just stop there with the Lori part. There's another piece to that where he talks with Colby Ryan, but Lori right there. I've seen it in the future. Me and Chad, we're not in jail. She doesn't really back it up with any sort of like legal arguments or why she's wrongfully imprisoned. Just she's seen that she's free and Jesus showed her this vision. Okay. I mean, is that all she bases this on in her mind? Is because she saw it in a vision or is she,
yeah.
Does she think
yeah.
that there's, that she's not guilty of this thing.
Yeah, she firmly believes that the version of reality, this story that her brain is telling her, that this is true. And her delusional thinking is simply unshakable. It wouldn't matter what evidence you show her. I had a client many years ago who was firmly convinced, it was a younger man, that he was reincarnated JFK. And he had all his grandiose thinking about it and how he was going to change the world. And it didn't matter how many times you showed him the footage of JFK being killed, you know, and the piece of his head flying off. It's like this guy was convinced that he was JFK and back to save the world. And these grandiose delusions about being special, that's kind of common with this disorder.
Is there any way to ever get through to someone like that? Do they ever come back out of this and see reality? Or once that switch is flipped in the brain, you know, everything's diverted this way and there's no coming back?
This is one of the most resistant to treatments mental health conditions that there is. And because they don't respond to, you know, evidence.
Mm-hmm.
They don't respond to people trying to get inside their head and help them change their way of thinking. There just isn't a lot you can do for them.
does she have these visions that she's talking about? Because she talks about it like it's very, very real. I mean, I'm not saying the visions are legitimate. But are these things firing off in her mind?
Yes.
So she thinks, yeah, I just had that. That did happen.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. The brain is misfiring. And she, when she says, I have visions of this, I see this, she does. You know, this is legit. I don't think she's trying to manipulate here. This is what her brain is showing her.
The fact that we're seeing this already, I mean, we saw a little kind of preview of it when she was in court a couple months back and acting nuts. But she's going to represent herself. This is the first thing in my mind when I saw that Keith Morrison's doing an interview with her. I was like, what kind of attorney would let that? Wait. She is her own attorney. Mm-hmm. So that's how that happened. How is this going to read to a jury? I mean, is this almost like, tell me you're insane without saying you're insane?
Yeah, it's probably the best insanity defense she could have would be acting as her own attorney, because I don't think she's going to be able to mask this very effectively. Not that she wants to mask it. You know, it's right out there. It's her story, and it's going to be interesting.
The fact that she's out there, she's smiling, she's laughing. I mean, she treats this, she doesn't seem to have a grasp on what she did or what she's involved in. Is that because she doesn't have a grasp on the events that happened, or is it because in her mind they're all justified? It's all because, I mean, I did a big breakdown on this earlier in the week, like a 4-part series of how to understand how Lori Vallow Daybell thinks. And it's an interesting ride. But once you kind of get behind it, you go, oh, well, she believes what she is doing is right, or that these decisions were correct because the kids, the exes, this is even about the kids in this case, that all of that, the exes and such, they were demons, or they were zombies, and the real them is already gone. So she was doing the right thing, and she believes that was the right thing. Is that how she's able to operate here?
Very much, very much. She has no insight that anything is wrong, and certainly no insight that anything is wrong with her. She doesn't see herself as impaired. She's got a story that is very real to her, and she's going to stick to it.
How common is this sort of thing? I mean, is this something that just naturally comes on if somebody has this? I mean, is this a disorder? Is this a disease? What is this classified as, first of all?
I think you can classify it as a disease. A disorder is more the personality characteristics, which mm-hmm. she has a lot of narcissism as well, which was pre-existing. So a disorder is something that you develop, and it develops when you're a kid, and it's just, you know, a personality disorder. Mm-hmm. A disease is something that happens to your brain. And in this case, I think it became a gradual progression, you know, during her 40s, which is kind of typical with this. And that's why it's so very hard to treat, because we don't have it really well figured out, you know, exactly how do you treat a brain like this?
Yeah.
And at this point, we don't have a treatment for it.
Like if Lori never met Chad Daybell, let's say her focus wasn't on end times, would this just be manifested in a different way for whatever her passion or interest was at an earlier time when this started to develop, when this started to go over a line? Or the fact that these beliefs were so extreme, did that trigger something that allowed this you know, disease to take effect, to go as deep as it did? I mean, if it was something like she's really into, you know, making knitted cats to sell at flea markets. Mm-hmm. Could that have been the other direction it went in, where she's just really crazy about knitted cats and she thinks they talk to her?
Yeah. You do see people like this, although it is not common. And certainly to become violent is even less common. Fortunately, most people don't start to commit serial murder, you know, based upon these kind of delusions. But I think without Chad, it would have just taken on an increasingly religious fervor. You know, she might have gone into some missionary bent and, you know, started started doing more and more crazy delusions about Jesus appearing to her and telling her things, but essentially remained harmless to anyone other than herself. But I think Chad helped shape and mold the delusions so that it took on this increasingly deadly turn.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.